Well, God is amazing. I'm hearing the dustbins being emptied in the background, all the trash being taken away. It reminds me of how amazing the blood of Jesus is, that he washes us in his blood, washes all that trash away, gets rid of it, all our sin and shame and guilt. And as we give our lives to him, and even once we've given our lives to him, as we fail him as believers, he comes and washes us and gives us a fresh start. Now, years ago, as I was getting caught up with learning about prayer, its importance, what it is, what it does, I just had in my heart, I was about 20, 22 years old at the time, to really ask God to help me establish my prayer life. And thing that I needed to do so I could be at work on time, I needed to therefore get up at 4:30 in the morning and pray for 2 hours is what was in my heart to do at that time, and to learn how to build that relationship with God, how to listen to him, how to listen to the Holy Spirit and let him speak into my heart. So I was developing that relationship with God, getting to know God, not just about him, but getting to know him. And I soon discovered that if I was going to pray for 2 hours, it took me about 10 to 15 minutes to run out of things to pray. And no one had taught me on this. I was just like, well, what do I do for the rest of the time? And God led me to this wonderful scripture in Romans 8 that says, and 26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for. And I loved that line because I thought, that's what I just said. I haven't got a clue what else to pray for. I mean, I can pray for the world. I can pray for the solar system. I can pray. I can make some things up. But they weren't things I was kind of sensing God was saying for me to be praying into. And it says, I don't know what I ought to pray for. And really, I don't have to know, because the Spirit himself, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, and the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts, that's God, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance to God's will. Now, let that soak in for a minute. It meant as I was praying, and I was praying in the Spirit, as it were, with the gift of tongues, what I actually realized, I was then praying out in English, as scripture says, you know, in your native language, whatever that is. Basically, that was interpreting what I was praying. But the scripture here encouraged me so much. It's saying, Dave, you don't know what you ought to pray for. There may be some things I know, but even then, how to pray for those things. Sometimes we'll come to prayer and pray on an angle that's not God's angle. And the Spirit wants to reveal to us how to pray into those things and help us see those things differently. And it says here that the Spirit will intercede for me. I thought, that's great. So I'm standing there praying in tongues, and the Holy Spirit may lead me to a scripture to pray over something. Then I'd find myself praying for a situation, realizing that what I'd been praying in tongues was an interpretation, and realized what God had been praying through me by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I was so encouraged with that, because from that day on, I knew that it was possible for me to pray in accordance to God's will. And that's transformed my prayer life, my walk with God, my relationship with God. It'll transform yours too. A very simple thing, if you want to get into this stuff, is just, well, first of all, you need to have been filled with the Holy Spirit, because that's the very presence of God you're filled with. And be able to speak with the gift of tongues. And if you're in a Spirit-filled church, then I'm sure there'll be people that can help you receive, pray for you so you can receive these wonderful gifts. But these things, you know, people argue as to whether that's for today or not. Well, I need a relationship with God today. And to be able to pray in the Spirit, I need to be filled with the Spirit and with the gift of tongues. Hallelujah. So that really opened up a whole new avenue, and it's actually affected how I pray into things. I may have a problem or a situation that I know I need to see God change, and I'll say, Lord, okay, this is how it looks to me, but it might not look quite the same to you. I want to get onto the same page as you. Would you show me how to pray? And I'll begin praying in the Spirit, saying, Lord, you know, show me what to pray. And on some occasions, I've realized that that particular thing's not even on God's agenda. It's a diversion. It's a distraction. It's something that actually really doesn't need my focus or attention at all. But other times, it certainly does need prayer attention. And God will actually, as I'm praying in the Spirit, begin to show me and give me revelation of certain things, which is a great thing to do, develop your relationship with God. I mean, Jesus, while he was on earth, was utterly dependent on going and spending time with the Father. I think one of the previous recordings here is while it was still dark, and we speak about some of those things as to if Jesus had to depend on prayer and fasting, in fact, but if Jesus had to depend on prayer, on being and listen at one with his Father, he says, I and my Father are one. And he says, I only do what I see my Father doing. That came out of prayer and being with God. When I'm making decisions nowadays, more and more, it's saying, okay, God, what is it you want me to do in this situation? Lord, what's your plan and purpose? Which leads us on to the next thing. And just to share and encourage you, there is so much teaching we can actually do regarding prayer and being with God and developing that relationship. But I just want to hone in for the sake of time on one area this morning. And it's in Matthew 6 and verse 5. And this is Jesus teaching his disciples to pray. Now, in my NIV version, 1984 version, before they changed so much of it, it's actually headed, subheaded prayer. The subheadings wouldn't have been in the original text, but many people know this as the Lord's Prayer. Now, I'm going to be a bit finicky with this, and don't worry too much, but in my own thinking, I don't think of it as the Lord's Prayer. This is the Lord's the Lord teaching his disciples how to pray, and I'm one of his disciples in terms of being a child of God. And so he's teaching me, when I read the word, and you, how to pray. And so I'd say it's my prayer, not the Lord's. It was his teaching. But he wants me to pray these prayers. In other words, I take ownership of this and do it this way. And he was saying in Matthew 6 and verse 5, and when you pray, so there's an assumption that we do pray. Just like Jesus said, when you fast, not if you fast. He's assuming that his followers will fast because it's so necessary. After all, he did it. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they would have received their reward in full. Excuse me. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. Isn't that wonderful? Prayer to me, just like as Jesus would go off early in the morning, spend time with his Father. Prayer with me, we hear of songs, it's called like the secret place. Is that place where it's just you and God. And as you begin to develop that relationship, it becomes so special, just that personal time you and him have together. You can pour out your heart to him. You can talk to him about anything and everything. And he begins to speak to you, maybe through his word, maybe through like just a prophetic revelation you receive in the Spirit. All of those things are big subjects in their own. But basically, it's just you and him. Then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, honored be your name. And I love that because, you know, as it's called the Lord's Prayer, I used to pray that at school every day, and you just rattle it off like a memory verse. But when you actually stop and you approach prayer, you don't approach prayer arrogantly or casually. You approach the Father in heaven, which we can do through the blood of Jesus. It gives us, Hebrews talks about access and acceptance before him through the blood. But our Father in heaven, honoured be your name. I'll often start, God, I honour you. I praise you. You are high and lifted up. You are my King. You are my God. I don't want to come casually. You're not my mate. You are holy. You are awesome. Yes, you're my best friend, but I treat that friendship with reverence and awe. You are high and lifted up. You are glorified in my life. I honour you, Lord. So, you know, it's just getting my heart in a place. Even when I come to pray first thing in the morning now, I'm saying, God, and I go through a list of the virtues of the blood just to remind myself of the why I'm qualified to pray. That's another thing. Pastor Colin's book, The Blood Speaks, is awesome on this. But I'll come and say, Jesus, thank you that your blood speaks of sacrifice. You were sacrificed so that I could be at one with you today. Jesus, thank you. Your blood speaks of punishment. You were pierced for my transgressions, crushed for my iniquities. And the punishment that brought me peace was upon you. So not only can I be at one with you, but I can know your peace through your blood. Your blood speaks of cleansing and forgiveness. And, you know, I just expand on those things and remind myself. And God reminds me as to what it's taken for me to be at one with him. Now, these are the next two things. I'm going to finish with this in a moment. But our Father in heaven, honoured be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I just want to encourage you with this. I was doing some praying and fasting last week, which at the moment is my habit to do Monday, Wednesdays. I'm just seeing God develop that in my life. And it's a tremendous but challenging journey to go on. But I felt God say that I want you to begin to proclaim your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then he began to show me to pray that out prophetically over some people's lives, over situations. Because if someone's not walking with God and they're outside of the or making independent decisions, it's not God's kingdom at work in their life. Is the kingdom of darkness. And if I'm not walking in God's will, I'm certainly not at my best. I'm walking in either the enemy's will or my own independent will, however you like to look at that. And so God just showed me to start praying over the church, over my family, over people I know. God, let your kingdom come and your will be done in my life, in the lives of those I'm praying for. And again, it was wonderful because there's some situations I've got, and we'll all have, where we're not sure how we should pray in terms of knowing all the detail. But isn't God wonderful that we can actually go to him and say, well, I don't have to have all this sussed. I don't have to know exactly what I'm praying. I will in some situations, but in those that I don't, I can pray, Lord, let your kingdom come and let your will be done here on earth, in this person's life, in my life, in the decisions I'm making in my future. Let your will be done in my life today as I surrender to you, as I pray, as I submit myself to you. You know, it's about reverence. Even when we come to worship, you know, for me, I'm coming to worship God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So sometimes in our services, we just start them saying, Lord, we just surrender our hearts, our minds, our emotions, our wills to you. We just come and give everything to you, Lord. We offer ourselves to you. That's why scripture talks about worshipping him in spirit and in truth, led by the Holy Spirit. No casualness or half-heartedness. This is God we're coming to. Amen. I was always fascinated. Our wonderful Queen Elizabeth, who's in heaven now, and when people had an audience with her, you know, you wouldn't just rock up in an old t-shirt and you know, dirty clothes and not having done your hair or washed or anything and yell across the room, hey Queen, how you doing, love, all right, everything okay? You know, there was a respect and an honor of having been invited into her presence. And you know, that's the Queen, was the Queen a servant of the God Most High? And we come before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I believe what God can do in our prayer and in our worship as we reverence him, will how we approach him really affects what he's able to then do in our hearts and lives as a result. Scripture also says, let us worship God with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So all of that to say, when we approach prayer and we're speaking things out, we're not telling God what to do. We may be proclaiming his word over something, but we're not telling him what to do. But we're coming and saying, God, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. And one on earth as it is in heaven. If you've been praying for a long time for someone you love and you don't seem to be seeing any change, or a desperate situation or a sickness or anything, I just hope you're encouraged this morning hearing this, saying, God, I've run out of things to pray. I don't know how to pray. But Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Break in to this situation. Start to give me wisdom and revelation. Change it by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. I surrender to you. I love you. You are mighty. You are awesome. Father God, I just speak your hand over this. Let your kingdom come and your will be done here into this situation as it's done in heaven. Amen. God's perfect plan and purpose at work. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.